Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Hello, Brooke. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing very well as well. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I'd first like to start off by asking you, how do you describe yourself and what it is that you do?
So it's actually kind of funny because I'm working with a Fascinate coach at the moment, and so I'm working on this whole new thing. But process architect is the word that I, or the phrase that I am looking for to describe what I do. Hmm. Process architect.
Process architect. I like that. So Fascinate, is that Sally Hogshead?
It is. It is. I'm excited because, you know, I've done all of the other ones, the Myers-Briggs and the DISC and, you know, all those different ones. And when I was, when I was introduced to Fascinate, it was actually a potential client, and she sent me the small test, mm-hmm. and she said, "You need to take this because this is your superpower." And I love that, and I love uncovering people's superpowers mm-hmm. so that we can figure out what their arch nemesis is and fix it. And so now that I get to go through this entire Fascinate profile and really dig in and find, you know, I know what my superpower is. I just don't know how to describe it. And so it's exciting to have words to describe what it is that you really are. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a new thing for me.
Well, good. It sounds interesting. I took the small profile test. After mm-hmm. listening to her on one of many podcasts, but I don't remember exactly the details on mine. I remember I'm supposed to be speaking more in public. That's as much as I can remember from that test.
Okay.
Because since then I was like, oh, what's another test to take? There was this phase. I was like a year ago where I was like, I'm just going to take all of these tests and just to see where the connections are.
Right.
So I don't remember details on a lot of them, but I do remember hers, and then she comes up a lot on a few of the different business podcasts that I listen to.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and that's the thing about it is, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, so prestige is what I build my business on, and power is what I build my speaking and my guesting, and, you know, that's my stage presence. And then my third, which most people don't talk about, is really what runs my personal life, which is really weird because, you know, as I started digging into the whole, the pieces of all of that, I find that they all contribute. And, you know, when I first got my profile, I'm like, I kind of feel like this is a horoscope, you know, like you read the horoscopes and you're like, that is so me. Mm-hmm. And so that was how I felt when I read my Fascinate profile. And I'm like, I need to dig into this more. So it's kind of become an addiction.
Well, now you've inspired me to go dig up mine again and look at that.
You totally need to.
Now I'm too curious to see what it was.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, working with this particular client and going through her program so I can help her optimize it, we have to create basically like my 9-second pitch because, you know, none of us have 30 seconds anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, people zone out after the first 10 words. And so the Fascinate profile is how she helps you redevelop what your pitch is. You know, so your value, your title, and what you do for others is your new pitch. And you get it into a very concise wording based on your advantages in the Fascinate profile. And right now I'm down to about 15 words. So I just need to manipulate it a little bit more to get it into my nine. So I don't have it memorized yet. So please don't ask me.
That was actually what I was going to ask Ness, but
I know.
That's okay. But so have you been integrating this into networking events locally or is it just something where you're just practicing right now?
Well, no, I've been kind of testing it out with my weekly networking events, because of course they know me and they all know what I do. So I'm like, all right, trying something new today. And, you know, so that's where I'm kind of going with that. But ideally what you do with the Fascinate profile is it really helps you change the structure and the verbiage and everything on all of your social media, your website, your LinkedIn profile, to really show people who you are based on how the world sees you, because that's Fascinate, right? Mm-hmm. So DISC and all of those other ones tell you about yourself and about how you perceive yourself. And Fascinate actually puts together how the world perceives you. And so that you can turn that around, it's almost like writing your bio from outside of you. And so that helps when you're creating content for your readers or your listeners or your potential clients. You're creating content to show who you are from their point of view rather than from yours. Because we all know that we can write from our point of view and that we can describe ourselves, you know, like how we would describe ourselves. Mm-hmm. But anytime you're writing for an audience, you have to tell them a story from their point of view so that they have a feeling invoked. Because if you're just telling a story from your point of view, most likely there's no feelings because nobody's connecting with you because they haven't gone through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, definitely now I have to go and dig mine up. So would you say that there were any experiences or coaches or a parent or teacher that you had growing up early on in your life that helped plant a seed for what you're doing right now?
Oh, you know what? It's so funny because what I'm doing right now is really the opposite of that. So I didn't get into what I'm doing because it was just something that was like, all right, you need to do this. And, you know, somebody guided me there. It was really moving away from pain versus toward pleasure. And my pain was really hating the fact that there's no productivity in corporate America. And there's so many bad managers in corporate America. And I really just, there's so much red tape. You can't get anything done. And, you know, I felt like stifled mm-hmm. in that world. And the authority figures that I had weren't necessarily the best ones. And, you know, that's where it's really funny because talking about Fascinate, my dormant trait is mystique, which basically says, you know, you're basically having to sit back and hold your tongue and just listen, right? So for those people who have mystique as their dominant, they're listeners. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like Silent Bob from Jay and Silent Bob. Mm-hmm. You know, he only says a phrase when it's like so impactful that you have to listen, right? That's a mystique. And that is not me at all. So I know that that's my dormant personality. But one of the biggest traits was, you know, you feel stifled when you don't have a say in the conversation. And as an administrator in corporate America, I'm doing all of this work and I'm running all of these different things, but I have absolutely no say whatsoever. And I'm getting trampled on by all of these people who are supposed to be in power when I run their lives. You know, one little thing and I could mess up everything for them. And that could cause me to lose my job. You know, and that just killed me. And so when I decided to fire corporate America, it was like, I need to go and do what I am so freaking good at, and I need to do it for people that care. They care about themselves, they care about their business, and they care about what they're doing for society. And small business owners is where it's at. Mm-hmm. You know, small business owners and solopreneurs are trying to make a difference. And whether it's a difference for them, a difference for their family, or a difference for the world that we live in, they need what I have. And that's how my clone solution started, is running away from all of the corporate America stuff that I just felt stifled by.
Okay. So I actually am curious to hear about some of your early corporate America work. So could you walk me through the journey of your early college and undergrad career into some of your early corporate America work?
Sure. So I basically worked in retail and hospitality from the day that I turned 16 all the way until I fired corporate America. And I was in several different roles, but so I was basically like your typical front desk agent, that kept getting told that, oh, you can run the desk today, you can be the front office manager today, but we're not going to pay you for that. You know, because I had that trustworthiness and I had, you know, I had the skills and the knowledge to do it, mm-hmm. but never the title. Especially coming up in, through high school and college and working full time pretty much throughout all of that. I never had a management job, never, all the way up through, getting out of college. And that just, I was doing the job, you know, I was running things and I just, cause I have that natural personality, but I wasn't getting the recognition for it and I wasn't getting paid for it. Mm-hmm. And where the people that were above me that were supposed to be doing that were just all kind of screwed up. I mean, really, like, I mean, I had some really bad managers. And so I just kept going and I'm like, you know what? Someday I'm going to have the right opportunity at the right time and I'm just going to work for that. So I'm just going to be who I am. And if they don't like it, I'll go find someplace else because this is retail and hospitality and there's always someplace else. Mm-hmm. You know, I could pick up today and make 50 cents more an hour across the street at a different place and have it be the exact same job just for a different company.
Right.
You know, and so with no shortage of jobs in that particular market, you know, I have the loyalty, but you know what? You have to push me really far to want to give up that loyalty to go and do something else. And so basically I got out of college, and I decided to move from Michigan to Indiana because I wanted to be in the city and Indianapolis is a city. And, and
it's I'm from Indiana, so yes, it definitely is a city.
It totally is.
In a technical term.
So I'm like, you know, I needed to be just far enough away from home where my family just couldn't come drop in, mm-hmm. but I could, you know, kind of form my own life at that point. Because from a very small town in Michigan to like needing to be out and feeling suffocated, Indianapolis was great. I started working in a downtown hotel, as an administrator, and, I was there for, just over a year at that property. Mm-hmm. And I was, in the year that I was there, they went from two administrators to one. I was doing graphic design on a regional level for our regional managers out of our office and just getting my hands into a whole bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. And, because I was good at it and I really enjoyed, you know, going the extra mile and showing my loyalty and, you know, everything was great, except I was making $9 an hour and I'm like, I need to find something that gives me a little bit more, you know, I'm living on my own now. I'm not living at my parents' house. And, so I had night jobs and I had a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And I just was like, okay, something better. You know, I need to be a sales manager. I need to be a catering manager. I need to like figure out how to get out of this administrator role so that I can make some freaking money. Right. Mm-hmm. And, So it ended up that I ended up switching from hospitality into retail again, because a $5 an hour pay raise to go from an administrator to a stocking person with, or a specialist at a box retailer. I'm like, all right, I can do this. And so I did that, and I did that for 2 years. And, you know, I was running departments, and I was being able to help people build houses and design their houses. And I was the only one doing it. And, the housing market fell out in 2007, and everything dropped, and people got eliminated because they didn't need them anymore. And then it just got ridiculously stupid when it came to working 60 hours a week because I was salaried.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so my $15, $16 an hour just went down to $8 now, you know? And so I had to figure something else out from there. And I was sick of the cold. And so I just said, you know what? Hey, let's see what I can find in the southeast region of Florida. And so I started putting out resumes, and I started, you know, thinking, all right, I'm going to go back into hospitality. Mm-hmm. And so in my first week of putting out resumes, I had 7 calls from Tampa. And I said, all right, I guess Tampa's where it's at. And I started doing phone interviews. I flew down for in-person interviews. And while I didn't get those 7, I still packed up all of my stuff and just left. So I came down, I got myself an apartment. I started, you know, looking for other jobs and applying for jobs. And the first job interview that I had of that 7 called me a month later and asked me if I was still looking for a job, and said, the job is yours. Wow. So they had hired somebody, it didn't work out, and they called me back after a month. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being there for 4 years.
Okay.
And the one thing that the manager, my director of sales, told me is, she says, your resume looks like you job hop. And I'm like, well, it is retail and hospitality. And she's like, you need to be somewhere for a good amount of time to show your future employers that you can stick around. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, okay, I took that, you know, I kind of ran with it. And, she ended up leaving a year later and wanted to take me with her. And I said, no, because you told me that I needed to have, you know, years in one place. And so it was really funny, because in that 4 years that I worked at that one property, she switched like 3 times and mm-hmm. asked me to come with her each time. And now she is one of my clients. So I do graphic design work for her and her property. So
oh, wow. That's great.
I know, right? So yeah, so that's, you know, Florida, I've been in hospitality. My last corporate job, I opened a steakhouse.
Oh, okay.
That was really awesome to put under my belt, because I'd never opened a restaurant before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my first manager title officially, came from the hotel industry, and I became a catering sales manager, and I loved that. But then it was like, you know, I need to figure out where my heart is, because it just wasn't in that property.
Mm-hmm.
With that particular management system and the people that were in power, just not good for me, and not good for my personality, and not good for my customers, for repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
And when your business is, and your salary and your bonuses are based on repeat business, you can't have that. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I went to the restaurant and did that. And, after 6 months, they decided to change my entire job title and job description and pay structure and everything. And that was not what I wanted. And so I fired corporate America and started my clone solution and lived very meagerly for the first year. But, you know, going from billing $25 an hour to billing $75 an hour in 3 years is a crazy jump. But it's, you know, people are interested in working with me because I get results.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I've always wanted. I wanted the recognition, which is totally a prestige thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted the recognition. I don't care what I get paid. As long as everything's taken care of and I'm good, I want people to really want to work with me. And so, you know, I have to test out new clients, because when they come to me and they say they want to work with me, I give them a homework assignment. And if they don't do their homework assignment, or they don't ask for my help in doing it, they're probably not the right person to work with me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I am very nice, and I, you know, just how you hear me now, this is how I am. But I am very hard with my clients, because most of my clients are entrepreneurs or solopreneurs that just need a boss. Mm-hmm. Need somebody to tell them what to do next and how to do it, so that they can be the most productive and spend their time doing the things that they really need to do, versus the things that they're wasting their time on. And that's where my clone solution is. So I really get to be, the good manager that I always wanted to have. But I get to do it for people that make their own lives, mm-hmm. and not in a world where everybody's dictated by the person above them.
Yeah. I'm curious, why did you decide to get into productivity specifically? So after, you know, you're working for this corporate America gigs, mm-hmm. you got into this. Is that something that you've always been interested in or fascinated with, or what was it particularly about that aspect that really enticed you enough to start a business around it?
Necessity. And that's really like, at one point, my 4-year job here in Tampa, I was supporting 18 people. When you are one person working full time supporting 18 people, of which they can't even fax their own paper, okay? You have to learn how to be your most productive self. You have to learn how to block out time on your calendar for certain things, and, you know when you can deviate from that or when you have to put out fires. Mm-hmm. I was essentially the communication hub for a hotel that has 400 employees, and, the management only talks to each other like once a week, you know, so I was that person that had to make sure everybody knew what was going on and what was happening. And if the fire came up, I was the one to take care of it, because inevitably that person that was supposed to take care of it wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to be your most productive self, you know, and working from task lists and working from piles of paper and stacks of whatever. And you have to really know how to get in the flow, because 18 people don't support themselves.
Right.
You know, and when I moved into my own business and I realized, wow, these small business owners, these entrepreneurs really like are amazing at what they do, but nobody ever taught them how to run a business. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever, you know, nobody taught them how to do their books. Nobody taught them how to be productive and how to, you know, have other people help them, or how to ask for help. They don't think they can afford it. They don't think that there's anything that they can do other than doing it all themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is where the necessity came in. Because when my clone started, I was basically a virtual assistant for small businesses. And I had no problem getting clients that way. But I was pigeonholing myself into that assistant role that nobody values. Because when somebody says, I'm going to go get an assistant, they're thinking about a $10 person that they're going to go get out of school because this person doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that $10 is completely wasted. Or that $10 an hour is completely wasted, because you have to tell them what to do. You have to teach them what to do. $10 an hour people don't think for themselves. Not in this day and age. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you really want somebody that could be your right hand, or could, you know, can have some critical thinking skills, they're sitting here thinking, I'm worth $20 an hour minimum. And they're right, because McDonald's workers who push pictures on a keyboard all day long are making $15 an hour now. Why do I want to come run your business for 10 bucks an hour when I could go do something completely brainless for 15?
That's true. And that doesn't with insurance.
Exactly. And all the perks of, you know, free McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, and the gym and all of that. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm like, you know, unless I'm so completely loyal to you that you are like my best friend running this business and I'm going to run this business right along with you and you're going to take me with you and you're going to end up making me, you know, your vice president or whatever when your business gets big enough, that's the only way you're ever getting somebody for $10, $12 an hour. And I can tell you right now, if that person decides to start a family, it's going to be the family or it's going to be you. Because you're not paying enough for that, or you're going to have to up that and you're going to have to be prepared. Yeah. But, it's really like, you know, embrace what it is that you do, but don't forget that there's a business behind what you're doing. And if you don't have the capacity yourself to learn everything and do everything in the most productive way, get help and have a process. And, you know, that's where my clients now are starting to understand where I come in, because that's what I'm hired for. I'm hired to take all of the amazing ideas and, you know, the way that they work with their clients and the way that they feel and take them out of them and actually make a process that that a Mystique would be proud of, you know. You know, it's just one of those, like, you have to have a process. You can't implement things. You can't implement a timeline if you don't know what the steps of the timeline are. Mm-hmm. And you can't create yourself a self-study program for new clients that sells without you unless you know what your process is for your coaching program. You know, all of these different things that people don't see because they're so good at it, at what they do, that they can't see it from the other side, the more technical side. And so I just come in and show people the other side of what they're doing. And then we can together make it more focused on the customer. And we can really enhance the customer experience and give the business owner something that, if they wanted to sell the business, they could. Because most business owners and solopreneurs, their business will never run without them. Mm-hmm. So if something happens to them, their business is gone. And if you really want to take care of your long-term clients and customers, you will build a business that you can succeed to somebody else or you can sell to somebody else that will put just as much care and love into your business as you have. Because you've done the work and now it's just about having somebody else run it for you. And that's really everybody dreams. All these entrepreneurs dream of having a business where they only work 4 hours a week, right? I mean, there's a whole book on it. Right. But you can't do that if you don't build your business to do that.
Right. And systems. Yeah.
Yep. Systems and processes. And it's an ugly word for creatives. I know, but it's something that needs to be done for you and for your business. And the thing is if you need help with that, if you can't get out of the creative vibe enough to do it, then have somebody who understands you help you make that happen.
I have been in a similar situation to what you described earlier of being a small business owner. At that time, I was running and building a bottled water company. Who, like, money was really, really tight. And I knew I needed to bring on people to help out, but I couldn't quite wrap my head around the financial part of it to actually pay them.
Yeah.
How do you approach that type of situation with your own clients who can't really see past, like, the initial money side and then decide to do everything themselves because they feel like they are saving money because of the immediate, you know, bank account.
Right. So everybody feels that way. So believe me, if you are resonating with that, everybody feels that way. You are not alone at all. So what I talk about with my clients is opportunity cost. And what happens if you were to delegate one thing, or if you were to automate one thing, how much time would that give you back to sell something else? Okay. And I have some really great examples on this. You can see them on my YouTube channel, especially in the bookkeeping section. But the opportunity cost of you doing everything yourself basically turns around and you're paying yourself 2 to 5 times the amount as you would be paying that person that is a specialist in that thing. To do for you. So for my clients that have a really, really tight budget and their business just isn't where it needs to be, and where they want it to go, it's not quite working there yet, we automate first. So I would rather have you put $50 a month into some tools to automate your different pieces of your business that can be automated. And automation can usually get you back somewhere between, depending on your business, 30 and 60% of your life.
Oh, wow.
If you do it right. You know, so my clients may put their initial meeting with me may put $200 to $300 towards me to show them what can be automated. And then they choose whether they want to implement it or they want me to. Most of my clients will choose me to implement that because they just don't have the tech knowledge. And once it's implemented, all you have to do is know how to trigger the automations to happen. And if you can trigger those, then you don't have to worry about them anymore. So if I could give you back 40% or 50% of your time just in automation, this isn't even hiring anybody. This is just automating and streamlining processes. And heaven forbid, giving you a product to sell, because a lot of people that are in a service-based industry are selling themselves or some version of themselves, and not a product. So those people have the hardest time developing a product out of what they sell, because they think, you know, we talk about the hourly versus a project or a product piece. And if you can turn your service into a product, it's a heck of a lot easier for you to sell. So that's another thing that we work on to get time back. Because if you are talking to somebody on the phone and you say, yes, I have a package, and that package is $3,000, and it gets you 3 months worth of yada, 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 or 6 months worth of my service, right? Then it's much easier because the person says, okay, I can put out $3,000 for that. No problem. But when you say it's $200 an hour and they ask you how many hours it's going to take and you say, well, I don't know. That's based on you. That's a much harder sell.
Right.
Right. Because people don't know what the end result's going to be. Now, I will also teach, you know, or I also teach my clients how to build their contracts so they're generally specific enough where you don't get scraped over the coals, you know, because clients tend to add things and you want to make sure you have contingencies for that. But, you know, these are just the things this is general business that you're not taught because you are out saving the world in your superhero costume doing what it is you do. But the consequences of the business world behind that, are what is going to either help you or help you fail. Because you don't understand the way that the innately the world works in business because you're so focused on how you're saving the world. And that's where all of that stuff comes in. So first, figure, you know, put some money and time into an ally to help you streamline your processes and put some tools in place to automate. And then stick with that and with that thing and that process and that automation for 3 to 6 months. And if you take that extra time that you garnered from the automation and you put that into sales, I guarantee you by the time you get done with that 3 to 6 month period, you will then have the ability to start working on delegating. And once you have your delegation process and what the person is going to do, how they're going to do it, how exactly they're going to contribute to your business, you can then delegate another 20 to 30% of the remaining tasks. And now guess what? You can then get to your wish list because yeah. everybody has one, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so now your wish list starts getting done and that furthers your business even more. So I don't ever want anybody to do everything all at once because it'll completely overwhelm them, especially for those that are in a creative mindset. You'll get completely overwhelmed if you try to do it all at once. So do bits and pieces as you go, as your checkbook will allow, as your brain will allow, and as your business will allow. And as long as each of those pieces moves you a little bit forward in giving you more time to do what you do best and to sell what you do best, your business will start paying for all of these things that you want it to pay for. And you can get to that, you know, eventually that 4-hour work week. Although us folks that are true entrepreneurs, we don't really want to work 4 hours a week. We just don't want to have to work more than 4 hours a week.
Right.
But we're still going to do it. It's just going to be on something new.
Of course, of course. Trying out different companies or different strategies.
Right.
When you talk about automation, yeah. are there specific websites and online tools that you're speaking of, or is it just in general creating a system? How do you approach the idea of automation?
Okay, so first, we have to extract your everything. You know, so I sit down and I tell you to walk me through your process because you have one. I promise you have one. You just don't know what it is. You know, so I tell you, if I were to raise my hand today and say, I will give you money to do what it is that you do and I will be your client, I need you to start with every little thing that you do, and we walk through that entire process. Usually takes somewhere between 2 and 4 hours because we're talking about that as well. Mm-hmm. Then once we have that process down, now it's about tweaking it to make it the best customer experience, not only for your customer, but on the back end for your business as well. And then we can take that stuff and we can put it into either an automated task list if everything that you're doing has to be done by you, or that goes into a series of internal notes and external emails and text, whatever it is, whatever your communication method is. And yes, we use tools, online tools to do that. And I will not give any names of any online tools because every single one of my clients falls into a different category of need. Mm-hmm. And so I will never tell anybody you have to use this CRM system because every single one of my clients uses it and I get paid to tell you to use it. Sure. That's not me. Now, do I have affiliates for the ones that I use most often? Yes. Mm-hmm. But depending on what your business is and how you need to run your business and how your brain thinks, that's how I choose tools for you. Okay. And I mean, I can tell you that a good portion of my business now, 2017 now, comes from me answering tool questions in Facebook groups. And that's because everybody's asking the same questions and they're all getting the same answers. Well, I use this and I use this and I use this, but that doesn't mean anything to you.
Right.
You know, what 500 other people in this Facebook group are using they're not asking the right question. And, you know, that's what I do. I ask you the question, what is it that you need this tool to do for you? Because all of my clients have one tool that they live in. That is their baby. That is their, I go here every day, and it's not your email. Mm-hmm. But it's the one tool that everything else, every other tool that we have in their business is attached to. Because you can't spend having a productive life, you can't spend your time jumping in and out of programs. Mm-hmm. And fit, you know, like, I don't need to sign in. I may have 15 different subscriptions to different programs that I use to work on with my business, but I only log into one or two of them. Everything else just has automations and is working in the background to make sure that I'm my most productive self.
Okay.
You know, and that comes from that process. So, build the process first, then you put the tools in place that the process needs to run and automate, and you start living in your primary tool. Mm-hmm. And making sure that that's most up to date, because data, crap in is crap out, right? So if you don't keep your data up to date and clean, and if you're not touching your contacts and your clients on a monthly basis in some way, shape, or form, then that data goes bad. And the power of your business, at least nowadays, is in the list that you have and the list that you've built and the relationships that you've built behind those. And if you're not building relationships with the people that are in those lists, then your business doesn't have a list. Mm-hmm. And so who's going to buy from you? You know, now you end up cold calling. Heaven forbid that somebody has to pick up a phone, because nobody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. But cold anything is just hard. I would rather see you get one client or five clients that are like, oh my God, this person is the best ever, and I want to pay you for the rest of your life. Right? Mm-hmm. But most people, they get the client or they sell their widget or they sell their service and then they're just gone. Or they sell a course and you never touch them, like you never have a touch point with them again. Mm-hmm. Well, how was the course? Did you even take it? Did you even look at the stats behind it and see if they even went through the first intro video? You know, because they gave you $3,000 to buy this from you or $1,000 to buy this from you, but then they never did it, which is 90% of every course ever purchased.
Right.
Right. But if you have an automated customer experience behind what you're selling, and they're going to give you more money. The lifetime value of that client is much bigger than you trying to go out and get 50 behind them. So, you know, if you set your business up for success in that way and you make sure that your customer experience is 10 times better than any of your people in your competition, because most likely if you've put the processes in place, you know that you're better because you know that you struggled through that whole process and that most people are not going to struggle that hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's what is that whole old adage about, you know, like you have to put the work in, and if you put the work in, it'll pay off for you. I know it's a whole thing, but yes, it's hard. Yeah. This is hard. It's not meant to be easy. And the people that make it look easy have like the universe on their side. And believe me, I have a couple of those in my life, and I just look at them every time something is freaking amazing in their business. It's like 50 new customers and they just made $1 million this month. And I'm like, oh, they're not even working for it. You know, these are not big people. These are like little small business owners, and they post on Facebook and they're like, I just got a $10,000 client and I didn't even have to make a cold call. And I'm like, oh, universe, please just jump in front of me and hit me like a Mack truck. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're all there and we all know those people, right?
Oh, yeah.
We all know those people that things just come so easily to. And, you know, we sit here and we're working hard and we're doing what needs to be done. But you know what? If you put those general principles in place and you're not one of those people that the universe favors on a daily basis, mm-hmm. Then you make it for yourself. And yeah, it's going to be work. I promise it's going to be work, and you're going to have to stick to it. but you will come out on the other end much, much better with a business that can run without you, with customers that are buying your heart and soul. And if you do it right, they're going to stay with you and they're going to keep buying because you have something that they need. And as long as you sell them that, as long as you make sure that you are in it for them, then it will return to you.
Mm-hmm. With the clients that you work with, I'm curious, when they hit resistance or suddenly they're fearful about putting something into place or even trying something new, do you have advice or tips that you give them to get past their fear and resistance?
So remember I told you earlier that I'm a really nice person, but I'm really hard on my clients. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes into place. So, I have this thing, you know, so they have that, I love adages, you know, so you'll hear that a lot, but you know, so you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm that person that stands there and shoves your head in the water and then brings you back up and says, are you ready to work yet? you know, because I mean, I have clients that call me crying. You know, I have clients that call me and just say, how much money do I need to give you to make this happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and I have clients that pay me just to sit next to them while they work so they actually do it. Now, granted, that's not how I want to make my money. Mm-hmm. But if that's what you need, if you need to put money into something in order, it's kind of how I am with the gym. I mean, if I'm not paying for a gym membership, I'm not going to go.
Right.
But if I'm paying for a gym membership, that motivates me to go because I know that I'm paying for it. And so, hey, if that's how my clients feel about me, I will take it because they will work with me all day long, every day. And when we get done with our initial product or project, and I'm just kind of, I'm like, all right, well, we're done with this. You tell me when you're ready to go and start working on your wish list. You know, and my clients, past, present, future, all hear from me every single month. So every single month, they get an email from me that says, hey, I've got time open in a couple of weeks. Do you need anything? And here's my scheduling link. So I have people that have been on my list for 2 years, and all of a sudden, I will see a meeting pop up on my calendar, and I'm like, holy crap, I haven't talked to that person in 2 years. You know? But they become a $2,000 client because now they've decided that they have a pain that needs to be solved.
Right.
And I'm completely okay with that. Because all I had to do was set up some automation in my business to make that happen. And it doesn't have to be like crazy elaborate. It's not the stuff you see on TV, folks. You know, it's about having the right message and putting it behind a system and then starting to feed that system. Mm-hmm. And then it grows and then it turns around and says, oh, by the way, I need your stuff now. But that's your know, like, and trust. You have to learn to build that credibility with the people that you might meet once or the people that you see every day. And eventually somebody is going to, or, you know, somebody, a whole crap load of people are going to say, yes, I need that. And now you have something that's at my price point, you know, and some people price themselves too low and some people price themselves too high. And if you have a product that is based off of the same thing that can fall into all of those, you know, too high, too low and right in the middle, you will find somebody that will buy every single one of those. You just need to know how to position yourself and where. And that all comes from having a process in place and knowing your value. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. So with the work that you do with your clients, actually in your own personal business, are there particular books or training courses that you recommend or see more frequently than others that you then, you know, push other people to read this book or take this course or listen to this person?
So no, I'm not one of those people. Okay. I there are, okay, so my entire business is essentially what I've, you know, is based off of like the e-myth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and learning what your place is in your business and how to manage all of that. But I don't tell anybody that, you know, please don't go and have to read all those books, because, heck, there's so many things out there that I could tell you to go see and read and do, but really, I just want you to work. I want you to extract what it is that you're doing so you can just make it better. And there aren't any books out there about that. There's books that say, go build a course, and this is how you can build a course. And there's courses out there on everything. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is know yourself, know your business inside and out, and know your strengths and your weaknesses. And make sure that you put people and things in place that cater to your weaknesses so that you can focus on your strengths. And I want you to take that. I want you to take the time in your life to build that piece of your business that is going to be the hardest thing for you ever to do. Because a book isn't going to teach you that. A book might give you the ideology behind, you know, this is a word for what you're feeling. You know, it's kind of like Fascinate for me. You know, it's a word behind what I'm feeling. I could never describe myself as a goal-oriented project architect, you know, but when I say that in a group, they're like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, that's only the first half of my thing, because I haven't figured out the second half really yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my first draft of that was goal-oriented implementation specialist that helps you build a business that can run without you. But that's like, it doesn't flow well enough for me, so I need to revamp it. But that's kind mm-hmm. of like where I started. And that's what I want all of you guys out there that are listening to this and you have your businesses. You don't have to listen to what all of these other courses and books and everything say, because they're not going to be exactly what you need. Now, you may have takeaways for all of them. All of the podcasts you listen to and all of the books you read and all of this knowledge that comes in, oh, there's so many takeaways. But if you're not going to implement those takeaways, it's not worth doing the education. And if you're not in a position with time, money, or energy to implement, then don't bother. Those books and those courses and those everything are still going to be there when you do. If you need to focus on your business to get yourself where you're at, you need to focus on your processes. You need to figure out what can be automated, and you need to figure out how in the heck you're going to manage to delegate. Because the whole point of all of those implementation things is to get you into one of those, automation, delegation, or elimination. Mm-hmm. You're not implementing. My very first client was actually a business owner organization and, with 300 business owner members. And there was so much amazing education as part of this organization. And I saw people every single day, or not every single day, 15 times a month, come to one of these events and write in notebooks or type on their tablet notes from this education. And did any of them implement? No. You know, we ran big events that were vendor events all of the people that paid $300, $400, $500 to be there as a vendor. I make it a point, because I do event planning and logistics, I made it a point to go put my business card in every one of their fish bowls, which I told them they needed to have. And how many emails out of 50 vendors did I get after the event? One. So all 49 of those other vendors didn't bother to follow up on their sales process when they had just shelled out $500 to be there. Mm-hmm. Who does that? Who spends $500 for no leads? But then they're the first ones to tell me that they can't hire a bookkeeper to save themselves $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a fine line. You know, we pay for what we want to pay for, not necessarily what we should be paying for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way that our brains work, especially in America, where, you know, the money is what it is and the opportunities are what they are. And we all have a little bit of a skewed view based on our past and our history of what these things mean. And that's a whole different conversation. But when you start thinking about your business and how to build it and grow it, the first thing you think of is, I don't have time to do any of this. You know, I've got three kids and I've got the business and I've got to deal with my husband and I've got, or my wife or whatever, and I've got to make all of this happen and I just don't have time to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a mom of three yesterday that I was talking to, and she has all of this stuff that she needs to implement in order to go to the next phase of her business, which could make her a crap ton of money. And she's like, well, how long will it take me to get this done? And I said, how long have you been working on your media kit? And she said, 4 months. And I said, you'll never get it done. I said, but if you will take a day and put all of your kids with a babysitter and, or your husband, and, you know, just get rid of every outside distraction and take yourself to a hotel or the beach or something, and just work,
mm-hmm.
you will get in the flow. And I'm like, I could finish all of this in one day if I had the information that was in your brain. So you can sit down and you can finish every single thing in one really, really long and hard day.
Yeah.
Without any distractions. So the question is will she do it? Will she take one day away from her family to give her family security in with her business for a year? I don't know. I'll see when she calls me in a week or a month.
Okay.
And tells me when that she's ready to start the implementation process.
Yeah.
You know, and she may call me tomorrow and say, all right, I'm going to the beach on Sunday. I'll see you on Monday. Okay. But it may take her a month, it may take her 6 weeks. I don't force my clients to do anything on a timetable that they're not comfortable with, because that stifles the creativity. Mm-hmm. And if they tell me they want me to check in with them on a weekly basis, I will. If they tell me that they need me to sit next to them while they do it, okay. You know, that's my business and that's what I do. I'm here to essentially be your boss and to be your, to be that person that you don't have because you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And you don't want on a full-time basis because you're an entrepreneur. You only need it when you need it. And so that's where all of that comes in.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the best advice you've ever received?
So I've been thinking about this because, you know, you sent me the question beforehand and I feel very privileged for that. And really the best advice that I have ever received has been to suck it up. And I used to get told that growing up every day, suck it up. And it's really funny how you turn into your parents when you hit your 30s. Because I find myself doing the things and saying the things that my parents used to say to me when I was a child, and I do not have children.
Mm-hmm.
So my clients are my children. And so when they are crying or they are, you know, having troubles because everything's too hard and I just want to, you know, crawl into a hole, it's suck it up. Because this is a temporary situation and you know that you're going to get out of it. And believe me, I have been in plenty of temporary situations, and I've been in situations that where the temporary was like a 6-month deal, but you have to suck it up and you have to go on and you have to fail fast, because there are things that you are going to try in your business that are not going to work. And there are things that you're going to try in your business that are going to be gold. And so when you're working and you're building something that, you know, you're doing it on your own. You're doing it from scratch. You might have a mentor, but nobody's in your head. So when something, when you feel in your gut like something is not going to work or it is going to work, go with your gut and test and just suck it up and fail fast, because there's no reason to dwell on it. Because there's always something else around the corner that you can do that could be gold. Mm-hmm. Does that work to answer that question?
That does. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you. So Brooke, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you, you chatting with me this morning. If the listeners would like to hear and see more of what you have been doing, what is the best way they can do that?
So they can see what I'm doing on myclonesolution.com. And so it's myclonesolution.com. And I'm sure you'll have that in your show notes for them. And then if they really want my everyday like tips and tricks and answers to questions and what ifs and all the cool stuff that we've got going on, I actually have a YouTube channel. So you can see it at on YouTube, /myclonesolution is the actual channel. But In the Trenches MBA is what the whole thing is called. And it's really for all of those people that got into business not knowing about business. So we talk about all of those questions that people are asking every day on social media that I'm answering. And at the end of every one of those videos, or if you don't even want to watch the videos, the transcript is in the show notes on each of those. And you can go and you can actually tell me what your pains are, and I will actually return an email to you, or somebody on my team will return an email to you saying, based on what you're experiencing right now, these are the first three things that we would do for you. And so that kind of gives them a starting place as to, oh, I'm thinking about the wrong things, or, okay, so I don't even know how I would start that. So let me call them or whatever. And so that's, so In the Trenches MBA on YouTube and My Clone Solution, and we can, you know, get you started on the process to having a business behind your superpower.
Great. Yes. And I will put those in the show notes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So again, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Great. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Advance Your Art podcast. If you liked this episode, please go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button so that every single time I release a new episode, it will go directly to you without even thinking about it. If you're interested in hearing older episodes, please go to advanceyourart.com, where you can find the catalog of everything I've done so far, as well as contact information and projects I'm working on. Thank you again, and have a great day.